Again, we're grateful this evening. Brother Scott and his family are here with us. And he doesn't really need an introduction. He's a member here, and he's pastor of Mountain View Church in Polk. And we're thankful for him and for the gospel that he preaches. And we just know that he needs the help of the Lord, just like any man does when we stand. And so we just want to pray for him, give listening ears to the word that God has for us tonight. So if there's nothing further, I'll go ahead at this time and turn the pulpit over to our good friend, Brother Scott Brown.
Thankful to be back with y'all. Good to see you. Thankful. Looks like most of you survived the holidays, which tells me that you're here because you want to be, which is a good thing. Thankful for this opportunity. I'm not sure what to do with Michael Stray comment. Lots of ways to go. I think he finally preached long enough he wore himself out. That's what I think. Somewhere between him and me is the perfect sermon length. I'm thankful for each one that's here. I'm thankful again for the opportunity to be with you. Pray that you'll continue to pray for this service. I truly do hope, however the Lord directs, that it will glorify Him. I want to read tonight in the 28th chapter of Isaiah. And we'll begin with the first verse here. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which has a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet, and the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as a hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing skirt shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. From morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. I believe we'll stop there in this reading tonight. There's a couple places that I want to reread here. We're going to start with the 15th here. It says, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing skirt shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. I also want to reread the 20th verse here. It says, for the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. I've had many thoughts as I've read this different times, but I feel a great deal like the world feels just like those men did in the 15th verse. And maybe even you, if you can think back on your life when you were maybe younger and maybe even lost, think back to the things that Satan probably tried to get you to feel in your heart. Like you had all the time that there was. Like you and death had an agreement. And I remember feeling somewhat that way, like, you know, I'm going to live to be a ripe old age and I'll take care of this at a later date. I'll take care of this when it's more convenient and I'll get all these things that I want to do or think I want to do done, and then I'll find time for the Lord. And it says here that they took comfort in that they had made lies their refuge. And, you know, our comfort today, our covering and our comfort have to come from God. We find in the Word that there is nothing that's sufficient to cover our sins except the blood of the Lord. And as long as time has gone on, from what I can read in the Scripture, that when men fell from the law of God, they tried to find another way to cover that sin. It said that they went and they hid themselves. They weren't hidden from God, but they went and they hid and they sewed together fig leaves and they tried to hide their nakedness before the Lord. And obviously, you know that account of Adam and Eve, and we won't get into all that, but the Lord came and He gave them coverings from skin, from flesh. So, again, showing that there had to be a shedding of blood to cover sin. And I'm thankful today that it's still that way. The Lord gave Himself a sacrifice, and whatever else you might take comfort in tonight, it's not sufficient if it's not the Lord. It'll fall short. As we read that second verse there, and I began to understand more about this since I've had kids. They have small beds and they have small blankets. And if you lay in those things, there's not much comfort to be found. But you toss and you turn and you make more effort to try to cover yourself and to get comfortable than if you just went to the bed that's the right size. I'm thankful that I know what it's like to have the comfort from the Lord. If you've been saved by the Lord's grace, you know what that is like. And there is nothing else it's going to satisfy. It's always going to fall short. And there's not going to be any comfort in it. Whatever other comfort we can create, it's going to be too short. It's not going to cover. And men have tried that, as we said, as long as time is going on, and they try. Yet today, you might be trying. I don't know anybody's heart, but if your comfort's in anything besides the Lord, it's going to fall short someday. I find of a truth that someday we're all going to stand before the Lord. And And I don't understand all that there is about judgment, but I do know that it says that the books are going to be open. And I know what at least two of those books are, one being the gospel and the other being what it says is the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm sure there's others, and I'm going to leave it to Michael, who knows far more than me, to tell you what the other books are. But those two, I'm convinced, are the most important. The others might be a record of the rest of the things we've done in our life. I don't know. It says we're going to give an account for every idle thought, which is a frightful thing. And it should humble us to think about just the fact that we're going to stand before Almighty God and give account for that that we do and don't do, as I find also. But I'm convinced that you're going to have to give an account before the Lord of what you did with the Lord's truth. What you did with the gospel, and not just this book, and not just the hearing of it, but with the personified gospel. What you did with the Lord Himself. Whether you took comfort in God, whether you fell before Him in this life and took the time to repent and to look to the one that can offer help, or if you ignored the gospel and ignored that work that the Lord did and tried to find comfort in something else. You're going to have to give an account for that. Those of us that have been saved, I find that our names get written in the other book. That what we do with the first book, in my opinion, determines what happens in the second. I'm thankful I can say when I was 12, I came to know the Lord. And my name got written in that other book. And there it remains. And no man can blot it out, the Scripture says. I don't worry about losing that I've got, because I don't hold it. Neither do you. But I'm thankful that someday I'll be able to stand before the Lord and thank Him, truly thank Him, not in the sense that we try on this earth, because we have flesh and we have sin and we have all manner of things between us and Him, but stand before the Lord in likeness as He is. Thank Him for that He did for me. I pray tonight that your comfort be found in the Lord. I pray that you serve Him not to please others, but to please God. I pray tonight that we realize that we're just people, just like these were, and that we're capable of even, I believe, by the Scripture, going back after that we're saved and falling back in to the comforts that are in this world. We can find examples where that happened, where people forgot what it was that they were purged from, and they began to take comfort in the things of this life that are all going to pass away. It says that it's all wood, hay, and stubble, and it's all going to burn.
Amen.
And it will, assuredly. I've probably said this before, but I look back a lot at work after we build things with a certain amount of humor, I guess, to the fact that I know it's not going to stand very long. In fact, even if it did, men change their minds a lot. I've remodeled a lot of the very same things that I've built, and I'm not very old. Things change and get modified, I guess you might say. But the Lord doesn't.
Amen.
The Lord's requirements don't. And it's the same today if you're hearing lost. And it'll be the same tomorrow, assuming that God gives it to us. And it's going to be the same throughout all time until the Lord says that it's done and calls to receive His own unto Him. If we're hearing saved tonight, I pray that our comfort and our covering is in the Lord as well. If you're lost, I know that it's not. It's in something else. It's in your own mind, in your own, maybe, I don't know. I took comfort in lots of things when I was younger. My family, my friends, my youth itself, I think, just as I said. And I had lots of time, I thought. But I can say with surety that life is not a sure thing. I've seen friends younger than me be put back to the dust from whence they came. I'm thankful that many of them knew the Lord. Almost all, I think, that have been younger than me. And I'm glad for that. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, I pray that you know the Lord. I know you've heard the Word many times, and I know you understand what you need. I'm convinced of it. But you have to yield yourself unto the Lord and allow Him to be your comfort. Allow Him to be your covering. I pray that if you'll do that, I know that it'll be found to be the truth. All other things are going to fall short. I pray the Lord helps you tonight. If you're hearing lost, I pray you don't neglect even this opportunity that you have. And those of us that have been saved, I pray we don't either. Even on their behalf. I'm thankful that God has given us this day. I'm thankful again to be with you. I pray that we'll pray for those that need to know the Lord. If you're here and you're saved and you're falling back into comforts that are comforts that don't come from God, they're going to fall short too. So I pray that you look to Him. And I say that to myself. I've been there a time or two. I thought if I worked 1,000,000 hours a week and had X amount of dollars, I'd be comfortable. I haven't been comfortable yet. It's not about those things. And those things are never going to bring comfort. In fact, I find they bring the opposite. Scripture's pretty clear about it. We're easily to forget those things. And sometimes the Lord just has to remind us that our faith and our comfort has to be in Him. And what He has done and not in the things that we can do. So I pray the Lord helps us all tonight. I'm thankful to be with you again. Just ask you to continue to pray for me. Continue to pray for you. And I pray we just let this night be what the Lord would have it to be. Turn it back to Brother Mike.
Appreciate the word tonight and the message that God has for us. I heard a quote one time not very long ago from Augustine that says, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God." As a brother was preaching, he was explaining something that I believe is a divine burden that God gives to us, that He will not let us be contented without Him. That we are made for fellowship with God. We're created for the purpose of being in fellowship with the One who created us. And anything less than Him does not satisfy. Sometimes it brings temporary appeasement to our troubled hearts, but only God can satisfy our hearts. I hadn't thought about this illustration that he brought tonight, but it is a lot like laying in a bed that's the right size. And he was probably too kind, but I won't be. I haven't had a blanket long enough since I've been married. And so my blanket gets taken. And wake up in the middle of the night and have to pull it back. And some of you, I can just tell, nod your head. You know that. But I've heard people explain their relationship to God like they receive a warm hug. And that really, I relate to that. Comfort. Comfort there. I won't ramble too much, but it was said to me, you know, nice pleasure reading. I've been reading about World War II and a lot of hard things. That is my pleasure reading. It wasn't studying, so it was pleasure. I was reading this afternoon about some people in concentration camps. And when they were freed and the soldiers came up and had liberated them and they came shouting, "You're liberated, you're liberated." And the people in the concentration camps said, "Is this real? Are we really free?" And they said they brought food, and they brought some clothing, and they brought some sustenance for them, some water. But one of the survivors said, "But what meant the most to us was not those things. It was when the soldiers came and they hugged us, because we felt the human value that comes with a hug." And as the brother talked about comfort, I think that the greatest experience that we ever have is when we have the Divine Comforter wrap His arms around us and demonstrate the value, the divine value that God places on us as one of His creations. Until we know that, we're always kind of separate, you know, isolated, starving, desiring something we don't have. But when we find the Lord, it's a comfort. And the Lord said, I send my comfort to be with you. But anyway, I appreciate the message tonight. It brought some comforting thoughts to my heart, and I'm thankful for the Word of God, how the Holy Spirit can just speak to us when someone reads the Word and shares the Word. Thankful for that this evening. Why don't we get another song and stand together and sing and have a Christian handshake, and one with another, and shake Brother Scott's hand and let him know that we're thankful for him and are praying for him and with one another. And if you feel led in any way to do anything tonight, we want you to feel free to follow the Lord.